This is Shooting Spaces with Rich Baum and Brian Berkowitz.
Hello and welcome to Shooting Spaces. This is Brian from New York.
And Rich Baum from beautiful, hot, sunny Sacramento, California.
You look like you're in a good mood, Rich.
I am so freaking happy. Yeah. Yeah. For once in my life. So what's going on, Brian? What we got today, man?
Yeah, let's get right to it. We have a fun episode today. You know, we did the roundtable last year. I think it was one of our last episodes, and we got a ton of positive feedback. So we were speaking about it, and we said, let's try to put another one together. So we brought two guests that we've had on the show before, but we figured we'll bring them on and we'll just chat and talk shop and see what's going on in their lives and their businesses and everything else. But before we get into it and introduce them, I'm going to say a quick word from HD Photo Hub. This way we can get right to it. Provide your clients with the convenience of online ordering and scheduling with HD Photo Hub's new smart scheduling system built specifically for real estate photography businesses. With HD Photo Hub, you'll save precious admin time with the all-in-one system to deliver your images, videos, 3D scans, and property marketing kits, along with built-in client invoicing, order management, photographer payroll, and so much more. Check out hdphotohub.com to find out more. And with that, Rich, why don't you, introduce our guests?
Well, when I thought of having a roundtable, I thought of who do I want on, and nobody else was available, so I got these two guys. But I think most people out there know, and especially if you're in the groups. But we have a extremely talented photographer, Chris Miller, and we have the infamous, ever popular Sam Chen. They're both from Southern California. Chris is from the land of fire, which is about 130 degrees today out in the desert. And Sam is from the beautiful June gloom of San Diego. So why don't we start off with Chris? Say hi, Chris, and tell us the 2 minute or the 30 second elevator pitch you've got. What should you do?
Oh, wow. Hi, my name's Chris. I feel like I need a name tag or something.
It's on the screen. It's okay.
I have a small real estate media company called One Point Media Group, and running out of La Quinta, California. We serve the greater Palm Springs area, the Coachella Valley. I've been a professional photographer for over 15 years, and pretty much just narrowed it down to real estate, specifically for the last five. And I just love it. I just love it.
And for those that are interested, you were on our episode when we talked about backups, I think, if I'm not mistaken. Since you have an IT background, we had you on and we were talking about ways to archive and backup your systems. So
data integrity, NAS backup, all that.
Exactly.
Stuff.
So if anyone wants to hear that episode with Chris, go back and just search the archives.
Thank you.
And Sam, tell us a little bit, although I feel we all know you, but tell us a little bit about yourself.
Actually, you know me, or everyone knows me as a cat, but I'm actually a cat in a human costume right now. So, yeah.
The pilot's an X-Wing.
Yes. I'm currently trying to get away from the Imperial Stormtroopers right now, and I might have to cut out any second now. No, I'm Sam Chen. I run it's a sole proprietorship of a company called Aloha Photo Video, based out of San Diego. This is, I think, my eighth year doing it. I'm all by myself. I have no plans to grow. So sorry, I can't hire you. I do take interns and assistants to hold my beer while I shoot. But it's just crazy busy here. And like Rich mentioned, we're kind of going through something called June gloom, May gray right now, where we have really the best weather in the world. I literally, you know, no humidity, always warm and hot. But 2 months a year, we get socked in with a marine layer. It's always cloudy here. And we get shoots canceled and postponed left and right. It's crazy. So doing tons of sky replacement. Thank you, Adobe Photoshop, for its sky replacement. Game changer.
And for those who my daughter goes to college there. No, just go ahead, Brian.
I was going to say, for those who are curious as to why we were talking about Pilot and Star Wars and all that, I invite you to go watch this on YouTube and it'll make a lot more sense. Sorry, Rich.
No. I'd say if any episode you would ever want to watch, I don't know the way you'd want to watch, but if you were to watch, this would be a good one, because especially with Sam Chen, there's never a dull moment and you got to see his backdrop. I'm going to come up with something for my next backdrop.
Despite the fact that I think we all have pants on, I think. Did we confirm that yet? Verbal confirmation will be fine.
I have pants on.
Well, okay. You can see. I was just going to say, Sam, my daughter goes to college in Point Loma.
Yes. When are you going to come down?
Point Loma. She goes to Nazarene University, which is the most beautiful thing in the world. But she said she was happy to come to Sacramento. She's home right now. Happy to go to Sacramento because it's warmer, which is going to be 113 tomorrow. But Chris, you still get the take the cake there, but she says it's just as it's always been. Just doom gloom can be really amazing, you know. It's just cool and cold and actually dreary and cold. So what are we going to talk about today, guys? I had a few topics I wanted to bring up and among other things, and I wanted to kind of start with Chris. Chris and I met during one of my workshops with Mark Weisberg down in Southern California. And the thing we have in common is Sam Chen, you came and did a speak regarding drones, if I remember correctly, when we did our workshop down there. But Chris, you are really an inspiration on several levels. And I mean that seriously, because not only are you doing great at business, and I feel I've watched you for the last 5 years, you know, come up in your business, but the houses you're shooting are unbelievable. And you're shooting in an area that you appear to have the market on your area. And your market, you said you do day-to-day normal houses, which are under $1 million, which doesn't mean much in California, but you do these incredibly huge properties, and you specialize in this great twilight photography. And tell us, how do you, do you work for like one real estate group, or how do you what you do?
I've been very fortunate for the subjects that I've gotten in terms of homes. Absolutely. And I make the great distinction between fortunate and lucky. I hear some people say, oh, you're so lucky you get to photograph those houses. I'm like, well, luck didn't have a whole lot to do with it, but fortunate. Yes. Being in this area, starting in it when I did 10 or 15 years ago originally. And, it's a very unique market, and this is the fortunate part for me. It's a relatively small town. The entire valley has maybe 250,000 people. Yet the caliber of homes in these private country clubs is astounding. And I worked my way into those country clubs 15 years ago because I was a landscape photographer turned golf course photographer. I kind of parlayed my landscape photography into golf course photography. And I was shooting golf courses for these luxury country clubs. And that was my in, like I said, 15 years ago. And then, you know, one day the general manager said, hey, we got a new chef and he's got these dishes. You know, we want to put photos of these dishes on our website. Can you take pictures of food? And I lied and I said, and I could, and I went home and I Googled how to photograph food. And then, the next year, you know, our in-house real estate office, you know, has this new listing I want to get photographs of. And, can you take pictures of houses? And I lied and I said that I could, and I went home and Googled Rich Baum, you know? And so being in with these clubs that have these on-site sales offices have been huge. And there's, you know, four or five ultra luxury clubs that have, you know, $10 million homes in them, numerous $10 million homes and up on some occasions. And it's been, you know, unfortunately for those that are listening, trying to figure out how to do this, I did it the old school, old fashioned way, build relationships over, you know, 10 or 15 years. And that's what it takes, you know, in addition to, you know, developing, thanks to Rich, the skill to kind of back it up eventually. You know, I would shudder to look back on some of those homes I photographed 10 years ago. My God, I wouldn't even want to look if I could find them. But anyway, so the secret to my success is no secret. It was long, hard work, relationship building, and having a sales and business background, obviously, too, but that's a whole nother topic.
But it's also
question. What was the question? I don't remember what the question was.
No, it's just You totally did it. My question was just, you got in this incredible situation. If you follow, you know, by the way, what's your website and how can people follow you, Chris?
1 Point Media Group, all spelled out.
Mm-hmm.
I've got my favorite logo hat on so I could do that. I
wonder what the hell is, what are you doing on the desk there? And I just think that, you know, you said it's not luck, and I agree with you, because I use luck kind of with me, but it was being at the right place in the right time for me. And I also started maybe 10 or 12 years ago, so it really helped. But I did work it in there. I did work with them and was able to work in certain things. So it is kind of lucky, but it's fortunate by design, and you were able to back it up. So, you know, that's the
Thank
bottom
you.
Line.
And then, so yeah. It's a combination of two things. Now I remember the question, if I could wrap up. So the combination of this incredible market of homes with the fact that it's a relatively small population, right? So there are other real estate photographers out here. They're friends of mine. There's good photographers out here, but I just have the history, and I've put in, you know, the time just getting in on it early and building those relationships early, that, you know, there's just, there's not an LA consortium, hopefully not, if nobody's listening to this, they're going to all run out here. You know, I don't have like the LA and San Diego type markets or New York, Brian, my goodness, to compete with. So that helps.
Yeah. But I think you hit the nail on the bucket. I don't know if I said that term right, but regardless,
it's a new coin. It's a new
exactly.
thing.
Exactly. Nail on the head, whatever it is. But you know, kind of like what Rich said, you know, it's being at the right place at the right time, which is a little bit of luck being there at the right time, but then being confident enough to be able to go out and get it and execute and deliver quality. So the next time they call you back. So a yeah. lot of those opportunities that arise, I know that that's how it was for me. Some of the opportunities that arise were just lucky and being at the right place at the right time, but then not being afraid to go out and tackle it and doing a kick-ass job and you know, shooting the hell out of it and deliver a great product. So they come back to you and the word spreads.
Yeah. And you know, the bottom line is, I think the thing anybody can take away from this, if you're going to get into it, you understand photography. You know, it's not all the same. But shooting people, shooting food, shooting stuff, shooting lights, shooting real estate. You know what? It really helps to be well-rounded, and you Googled it and you were resourceful, but you were able to back it up because you're smart and you were able to apply those things to the particular genre. So
yeah, for 10 years, I would, you know, take a picture of anything anybody paid me to take a picture of, whatever it was. I didn't care because I wanted to make this business work, you know, and that's a great experience. I've probably photographed 400 or 500 weddings, I would think. And I've worked with some phenomenal wedding photographers. And I've always said that a great wedding photographer is a great photographer, period. Because it's portraiture, it can be architecture, it's event, it's low light, it's night, it's action, it's one take. You know, it's everything you have to know how to do in photography, basically. Sums up a great wedding photographer. And so I learned how to shoot low light handheld a long time ago with a single flash, you know, a long time ago. So I don't know where that segue was going. Just shout out to great wedding.
Yeah, you're doing great, Chris. No worries.
Shout out to great wedding photographers. That's what I'm saying.
And Mr. Chen, I wanted to just say to you that, you know, you do some stellar properties, and maybe talk to us regarding how you got your, you know, you work for a few really key, and I think I'm right, you work for some very key realtors. I don't know if you work for the same agency, but you do some incredible work. How did you get into that? How did you meet your agency and then go into that and work for those people?
You know, before I start talking about, you know, answering your question, I just realized, I think I'm the newbie here. I've only been doing this for 8 years. And I think you said 10 or 12 and Chris has been 15. Brian, how long have you been doing this?
I'm about there with you. I started 2013, 14.
Yeah. So we're the newbies. Is that funny?
I've been a photographer since 1968. So I'm sorry.
I started real estate too. I started real estate, but I started.
You've been doing, you're a wedding photographer for years, Brian.
Well, my father was. I mean, I started assisting my father when I was 10 years old. So, you know, I've been
maybe
doing
you
it.
Win.
I've been in the industry for 30 years. Industry, but there's a picture somewhere.
So real quick,
there's a picture somewhere of me 10 years old holding lights somewhere around here.
My background's actually high tech. I spent 10 years out of college doing what I'm educated to do, which is software engineering. So after Silicon Valley, I came back to San Diego to make movies as an animator, as an animation director. And I did about 10 to 15 years of that. And then it was around 2013, I said to myself, okay, time to reinvent myself. Oh, gee, look at that.
Nice.
There you go.
Okay.
That's a 10-year-old me. Rich is on mute.
Wow.
But that's a 10-year-old me with, sorry, Sam, I just completely interrupted your.
That doesn't even look like you.
Rich, is that a quantum or a Norman, you think?
That's a Lumadyne.
Lumadyne.
That's a quantum, right? Oh, Lumadyne.
Lumadyne.
Yeah. Wow. Quantum. Oh, Chris, you're bringing it back.
Sorry, Sam.
Yeah. So,
sorry, Sam.
About 2013, it was time to reinvent myself. You know, I was teaching as a professor college classes on filmmaking at the time, and I said to myself, what am I missing in my life now? It's kind of like an early midlife crisis. And I said, I'm missing my electric guitar. Can I make a living out of that? Nah, I don't think so. I'm missing my camera. I used to shoot for fun. So it was actually, long story short, it was actually the drone that got me my foot in the door into this very exclusive boys club in San Diego, you know, a luxury real estate photography market. Around 2013, 14-ish, the DJI Phantom 1 came out, and it didn't even come with a camera. You had to solder and DIY and MacGyver a little GoPro camera on there.
Canon put on upside down.
Yeah. It was like a GoPro Hero 3 Black. I mean, we're up to 8 or 9 or whatever right now. So Hero 3 Black, and I have an electrical engineering background, so I was like soldering stuff all over the place. And I flew it, and I it was just like a light bulb went off. It was like, wow, I can now get the camera. It's like basically a tripod in the sky. So I could get the camera anywhere in the world or anywhere in San Diego that no other photographer has ever shot, not even from a helicopter, because I don't think they can go down that low. So it's like, you know, sub 400 feet altitude where no photographs of these famous landmarks have ever been shot. So when I shot that, a light bulb went off. I was like, ooh, this is really amazing. It wasn't until I shot a friend of mine who was a triathlete. He was training for the triathlon, and I shot the team, you know, biking around Mission Bay, running. And the guy's like, oh my God, this is incredible. And again, this is 2013, Phantom 1. And he said, have you ever thought of using this for real estate? And I go, yeah, because my dad's a Century 21 broker. Remember Century 21? So I said, yeah, this, you know, do you know any real estate agent that I could, you know, pitch this to? And he's like, yeah, me, you're looking at him. It's like, okay. So he invited me to shoot his listing in La Jolla. And long story short, I shot it with a drone, and I shot, you know, interior, and we put it on the web, and it sold for $3 million sight unseen by a buyer from overseas, I think. And we're like, hey, I think we're onto something. I think this drone thing is going to change the industry. And little did we know that it's now a prerequisite. It's a standard. So that kind of got me my foot in the door. I pitched it to sort of this other agent at Pacific Sotheby's, you know, who's the, you know, big dog in San Diego. And he was looking to differentiate himself. And that's the key, is every agent is looking to differentiate. And back then, you know, there was no Matterport. There was, you know, just video and, you know, slideshows, you know, glorified virtual tours. And he's like, ooh, I want to, you know, differentiate myself by using aerial photography and videography. So we teamed up, and I pitched my service to him. And that was really my foot in the front, into the front door of this very insulated world, this boys club. And I had to learn how to do interior photography really fast. You know, same thing with Chris, I had to Google and YouTube and, you know, watch videos to sort of come up to speed with interior, because it's like a whole different beast. And to me, I think interior photography is what separates the men from the boys. Every time I see like a really good shot of an exterior, I go, okay, let's see if this photographer can do interiors. And you can see right away if they rely on HDR or if they're having the flash next to the camera.
Sometimes
and
it's
flat
that,
or are they doing light painting or what? So, you know, I had to learn that real quick. And ever since then, you know, I still shoot for this same client to this day, 8 years later, and he's my best client. And he has, through word of mouth, allow me to sort of kind of cross pollinate all through the market. And I've had access to the best top producing agents in San Diego, all because of word of mouth. And, you know, I think that's a topic that it's worth exploring is building up the clientele that's long time or lifetime clients. And it just makes your life so much easier whenever you can, you know, get the right people, you know, and it's never all about, you know, nickel and diming each other, trying to, you know, like a game of chicken. And if you blink first, you lose, you know, it's sometimes, and you fire them, you have no, you know, qualms about firing bad clients. But once you get the right clientele, it just makes your job so much better. It's not, it doesn't feel like a grind because we put up with so much bullshit in our jobs potentially. But once you get the right clientele, you know, you don't get the potential burnout that some of us get, or a lot of us are, you know, potentially able to get.
Cool stuff. Yeah. I'm going to shift gears a little because, you know, when I speak to people, I love hearing what they have to say about this, but you know, the last year for all of us has pretty much been unprecedented and nothing that any of us have ever faced in our business. So I'm curious to hear, you know, I'm on the East Coast, so I know how it was for me. And surprisingly enough, and you guys, I think you guys know about this, I had an insane year last year just because of a big contract I had. But regardless of that, how did you guys fare? I mean, how did your business go? Where did it go completely downhill for a few months and shut down? And how have you kind of pivoted, if you did or needed to pivot, and you know, how are you reacting now that things are turning back around?
Ours was epic, and we had a great year last year. And I say we have a couple of contracted photographers that are team members of mine, but it was really bizarre because when the COVID thing first started becoming, you know, a depressing reality, I thought, well, I'm going to have to find something else to do. You know, we're going to have to hang up the camera for a while or do something else or just hunker down. And I really thought that I was going to have to get ready for the biggest slump I'd ever seen in 15 years. And it was probably late April, I believe it was, that the state of California deemed real estate services essential. And that was a turning point. And so we started getting out to work a little more. There was maybe, you know, that March, April period where it was, you know, we were doing the few weeks of, you know, going to the grocery store with a hazmat suit on if you leave the house at all kind of thing. And then, you know, people started listing houses a little bit and we started going out. And then a fortunate thing happened. Lucky, I'll say lucky in this case, was the market that I'm in is a couple hours east of Los Angeles. And as the pandemic continued, there became this great exodus out of the more congested urban populations, particularly Los Angeles and Orange County. And so I grew up in Texas, and in Texas, like if you're in Dallas, it's a thing to do to get a place out in the country, right? Where you can drive, you know, drive out of Dallas or Houston and a little bit and go out to the country and get away from the city. And the Palm Springs area is kind of like the country for 15 or 20 million people that are just a couple hours west of here. So that combined with the fact that more people are doing remote work, working from home, because of the Zoom technology and that kind of stuff, then more people started realizing they don't have to live in the city. Not only do they don't have to live in the city, they don't want to because it's crowded, it's congested. Now we're, you know, they have this pandemic on their mind. So there was this, and it's still going on. It's just starting to taper off. a year later. This went on for a solid year, this exodus of people out of the coastal areas of Southern California to the desert area. And we had, I've heard my clients talk about every day, inventory is so low. That's a the big issue for my clients here is the low inventory, because houses just sell the minute they go on the market, multiple cash over offers, nearly every single listing. That's happened to for, it's been happening for 12, 13, 14 months. It's been unreal. And fortunately I had a system in place with you know, a couple of contracted photographers and automated website scheduling, processing and delivery and all that, that, that I was in a position to handle it. And it's been really good. Starting to slow down a little bit, for sure. The luxury market has definitely slowed down. But my guys are still out there, you know, shooting. We went from probably 12, 14 houses a day on an average busy day to now we're down to maybe 8, you know, and that's still a good day. And it's a much more manageable day, that's for sure. I did a lot of 4 a.m. to 8 p.m. days, a lot of them, back to back to back to backs.
And you're doing a lot of morning twilight and evening twilights. I know you do.
Yeah, when our season is crushing, the twilight shoots are really in demand for these listings. So particularly in the winter, fortunately, you know, the sun doesn't come up till 7 and goes down at 5. So we start our twilight shoots. The first twilight shoot of the day, we start around 6 o'clock in the morning. And then we do our second one, you know, for the afternoon twilight. And yeah. We don't do as many of them in the summer because there aren't as many people listing, you know, these luxury homes out here in the summer. Fortunately, because it'd be, you know, it's a 5 a.m. to 4:30 a.m. start, actually. So we're not doing as many of those, but very common in the winter to do 2 twilights a day, 5 days a week.
Yeah. Well, let me jump in here, do a little read, and then we'll bring Sam Chen in the same question. iGuide, are you looking to expand your real estate photography business? Stand out from your crowd by offering 3D tours, accurate room measurements, square footage calculations, and professionally drafted floor plans, all from a click of a button with a state-of-the-art iGuide camera system. Then you get your first 5 standard iGuides up to 3,000 square feet free by adding the code SHOOTINGSPACES in the referral section at camera purchase. So please visit goiguide.com to learn more. That's goiguide.com. Okay, Mr. Chen, how did you fare? March, I was in Mexico, I remember. And I'm looking at the market in Mexico going, I might as well not even come home because I'm going to be dead. And then after a couple of weeks and exactly what you said, Chris, when it became essential in California, completely changed. I don't think I was as busy as you have been, but I did pretty well for a year and a half. And Sam, what was it like for you?
Honestly, I was going pretty crazy January, February of last year. And then when I heard about the lockdown, I was like, oh, good. I get to take a break. And then they, you know, like Chris said, it's like, real estate industry is essential. So get back to work. And I was like, oh, damn. I had all these projects. I was going to, you know, relearn the electric guitar. I was going to do all these things. So I'm like, okay, well, at least I could still make money. And if you were to plot out my numbers, it's kind of traces the stock market, the S&P 500. It's like kaboom. And then it just been going nuts. It's just straight up. It's like a V-shaped recovery. And it hasn't stopped. I thought I was getting a breather this week and next week, and I have 5 bookings today. So it's really crazy off the hook. And like Chris said, even luxury, things are just flying off the market. Homes are being sold in sometimes 24 hours for luxury homes. These are like $3-5 million homes being sold in 24 hours. A lot of them are sold in, you know, out of pocket listings that are not even public. They're just like, you know, in the back pocket of these agents. One of my clients, the same one that I talked to you about earlier, he just sold something for like $500,000 over asking price. And we're not talking about super expensive. We're talking about 2.5 listing, maybe sold for $3.1 million. I mean, it's nuts. So I might as well, you know, take advantage and ride this while I can. And, but yeah, the market is that crazy. You know, it's almost like too much of a good thing, believe it or not. But part of it is, I also noticed is there's a spike in demand for videography. So that's, you know, something we probably talk about, because it's like a skill that we really ought to explore and master, you know, as a one-stop shop. Also lots of demand for Matterport and iGUIDE. I had to actually outsource my 3D scanning because I'm spread so thin already that it's just me. I have no other photographers working for me. So I've had to outsource that. And there's just a huge demand that, you know, people don't want strangers coming into their house, even now. So yeah, the market is off the hook. I don't know how long it's going to last, but there is a slight tapering. I think people are going on summer vacation, but, you know, gotta, you know, take advantage of it while you can, gotta pounce.
Did you also see, because I know what Chris was talking about, a mass exodus. I know we had that here in New York. And especially when, you know, at the peak of the pandemic, New York, if you remember, had it the worst for like about a month or so. It was really bad here. And everybody left the city and came out to Long Island. And that's right about the time when it was deemed essential also in New York for us to work. And like you said, it just got, you know, it just got off the hook. And I was kind of in a transition in my business where I was going more commercial and less residential. And I had all these calls coming in, but I was doing so much commercial work that I couldn't even take them. So yeah, it just got off the hook. But did you see similar, where people leaving, I guess, San Diego proper and kind of spreading out and moving out? Or
yeah, totally. Like whenever the homeowners are there, I tend to kind of buddy up with them and kind of figure out, because I'm kind of a curious person. So I always ask them about, are they going to miss this place, where they're going? And I would say 4 out of 5 of them were leaving San Diego. A lot of them are going to Texas, kind of like Elon Musk, kind of like Joe Rogan. It's got to be the tax thing, you know. And some of them are moving to Colorado, some of them are going to Seattle and New York. But what's interesting is that for every person leaving San Diego, there's someone else from the Bay Area, from Silicon Valley, from San Francisco, that's like, what? I can work for Google and Facebook and work from San Diego and get a lot more home for my money. So there's never a shortage of, people wanting to take up the limited inventory. So our inventory stays low. A lot of people leaving, a lot of people willing to take their place. So it's evergreen here. It really is. And partly due to the weather, you know, we have the weather tax here. We really have the best weather in the country.
And for me, it's kind of like, I'm in the middle. Like Chris, you're almost, Chris, you're muted. You're almost on the east part of California. Sam, you're on the west part of California. I'm in the center of California, where I am shooting houses. People that are coming are moving from Sacramento or the foothills to Idaho, Arizona, you name it. And the houses are being bought by San Francisco. So I'm getting both coming in and going out. It's been very, very interesting. Wow. And like you, I love asking questions from owners. Every so often I get boned and I said, why did I even ask him a question? But I really enjoy meeting some of them. Also, when I like do Twilight shoots, I have a moment to really talk to the people, because they're usually there helping me with move stuff and lights and stuff like that. But I love it. And it's very interesting. And it's been a super, super interesting time. And I just like feel it's going to burst or what. It's not a bubble. It's not the same kind of bubble as 2008, but it is some kind of a bubble because of inventory. And I just don't know what's going to happen, because they're building now and wood is 4 times the price now, but they're still building. So, I mean, there's always going to be something, you know. It's a good business to be in.
Yeah. A good client just told me today that part of the trend in real estate sales that we're seeing is because of the price of new construction. You know, normally there would be homes being built for all these people, but due to the shortage and cost of lumber, people are, you know, buying buying existing homes and refurbishing them instead.
Well, let me, let me bring up a subject while we have time. We had mentioned this earlier in the conversation, but are you guys going to PFRE? That's Photography for Real Estate Conference. It's the third year. The first year was in Vegas. And I know Sam and Brian and I had a great time in Vegas, but Chris wasn't there. Are you guys going to Vegas this year? And that's, when is that? November when? 20 something? Brian, do you remember? Sam, you know when that is?
18th, 19th, I think.
19th.
Was it in October in the past?
I feel like it was November.
Always November.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's crunch time for me. That's when, I told you guys, I do a lot of photographing golf courses, and November 1st is usually when the winter grass comes in and the winter flowers get planted. And I'm usually spending the month of November photographing a lot of golf courses, and those don't wait for me. You know, they'll close for, I usually get to shoot the day before opening day kind of thing. And that's often around that time. And the people that were waiting through the summer to list their luxury mm-hmm. homes are coming back and starting to list. It's just fortunately for me, it's a terrible, terrible time to try to take a non-work trip. But
well, you're maybe going to speak, right? I mean, there's a possibility, yeah, rumor that.
I've been suggested to speak on the topic of videography, and I would love to do that. If I do get invited to speak, I will absolutely, I'll make it, because I can justify it as a work trip.
It's work. All right. Great. Talk to Brandon. Let's get Chris on board.
Sounds good.
And Sam,
what about there, you, right? Sam? You're going, you're for sure going. I mean,
hello, I'm vaccinated twice, unlike some people who only got vaccinated once with Johnson & Johnson. Come on, I'm just kidding. But I think there's just this overwhelming desire to sort of reconnect. And, San Diego is the epicenter of Comic-Con. And every summer we get the nerds and the geeks descending, like 130,000 coming to San Diego. And we didn't have that last year for the first time ever. So I think people are just dying to sort of congregate and, party, frankly. Who cares about the speakers and the subject matter? It's all about drinking, right?
It's all on YouTube anyway, right? It's all on YouTube. It's exactly. All on YouTube anyway.
So yeah, you can watch the playback. Yeah, whatever.
I mean, just going out to dinner with all you guys. And I mean, it was really, really fun. And it was just as you said, it's kind of a part of it that we never get to see. I mean, we've all met, and I met all of you, but just the ability to get together with like-minded people that are there to party and have a good time. And the subject matter is really good, but I could care less. I was there to have a good time and just to hang out with you, Sam. That was worth it right there. And to meet Brian Berkowitz in person for the first time,
business partners. Brian, did you make it to the final night prime rib dinner?
Yeah, you were there, weren't you, Brian?
You were there, right?
Yeah. I stopped in for a little because my flight, back to New York, which left at midnight.
Right.
So I came in just to say goodbye and hung out for like 10, 15 minutes. And then I had to peel out to the airport. So
yeah.
Jordan Powers, Sam Chen, and Tacey Youngman, and Chris, and everybody. That was really fun.
Yeah. You guys are really wanting to make me go. I mean, I really do want to go.
We don't want you. We don't want you to come now. Nope. Go work. Go shoot your little golf courses. Come on.
You and your grass and your flowers and whatever.
I'm active on the forums.
How hard is a golf course to shoot? Come on.
I'm active on the forums because I love talking about this stuff, and listening too. And made some real friends in the groups and some actual friends. And so it'd be really nice to get to.
Well, I'm coming down to Mexico. I'm going to Mexico this year, and I'm going to maybe stop by because I got to go sort of through where you are on the way. I'm going to go down to Mexico. I'm going to stop by and do a little twilight shoot with you and hang out and hang out with
Sounds
the Miller,
good, buddy.
Miller man.
That'd be Sounds
great. Hey, Rich, when are you going to visit me and your daughter? in one suit.
Well, actually, I was going to come next week because my daughter's driving back to school down to San Diego on Tuesday. But my wife is going to take because I've got a shoot. So I was going to come by and say hi, but I'm not. But I might come on down and see my daughter. So I'll stop by and do a Twilight shoot with you.
San Diego is the craft beer capital of the world. So if you like craft beer, you know, we got so many breweries.
The world, that's got to be Portland, isn't it? Or
no, we're one of the best.
Northeast is pretty good too.
Whoever claims it, I think.
Yeah.
Whoever said it first.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Brian, come up with a topic. If you've still got about 10 minutes or so.
Yeah, well, let me ask you, Sam, because we spoke about it. We spoke about this at the last PFRE. I remember one night we were at a bar talking and you were asking me about commercial photography because you were getting into it. And as everyone knows, I've been preaching commercial real estate for the last year and a half because when the pandemic started, I was beginning my transition and it just exploded at that point. Especially with, I think you mentioned, Sam, the iGuides and the Matterports. I mean, that all exploded last year once people couldn't do, walkthroughs. I think I counted, a few months ago and from April to the end of the summer last year, I scanned 1.2 million square feet of commercial space with the Matterport, which is insane, insane amount of, square footage. So I know you were telling me you had some things going on with Cushman Wakefield. For people who don't know, they're one of the nation's top commercial real estate agencies. How's that going for you?
Wonderful. I just got paid today.
And how much better is commercial real estate photography than residential?
It depends. I think commercial photography is a umbrella general term. It could be really bad and it could be really great. And I'm fortunate to be the latter category. I shoot the industrial sort of industry of commercial photography as opposed to retail. As you know, shopping malls and storefronts, you know, they had a bad time in 2020. But turns out that my clients, Cushman Wakefield, in terms of industrial and like business parks, business campuses, you know, high tech, they were thriving, actually, believe it or not. So they were not affected, and I'm still shooting for them, and it is a wonderful client. And between you and me, it's really easy work because usually they just want...
And everybody else listening.
Yeah, and everyone listening. it's mostly exterior and aerial. A lot of times they really want aerial. I don't know what they did before drones were invented because it's all about... context. Is it by a freeway? Is it easy access? Yeah. And what are the other campuses? I just shot something in Otay Mesa, which is right next to the Mexican border. And you could see the, you know, the wall that separates San Diego, or sorry, USA from Mexico. And you see all the cars coming in. You see, you know, it's just amazing how, you know, a lot of times that's also where Amazon just took over this building, and it's supposedly like one of the largest buildings in West Coast. This ginormous fulfillment center warehouse, and a lot of clients are like, "Ooh, we're next to Amazon." You know, it's like through association, I guess. So the aerial photography serves that perfectly. It just shows how any client's building is next to something of importance or important freeways. So the work tends to be a lot easier than residential, where you have to shoot tons of interior. You don't have to deal with office employees and clutter. You're just, you know, you show up anytime you want. You don't have to meet anyone. I almost feel like a ninja. You know, I just show up and plan. You know, I scout out everything with Google Earth, you know, come up with a plan, show up, and then just like fly. And then before someone can realize that you're not supposed to be there, and security, I've been accosted by security all the time. They're like, "Who are you?" It's like, even though I have the right credentials and, you know, I can show
they don't
email.
Want to publicize that they're selling a lot of these buildings. They don't want their employees to know.
It's true.
Called covert operation.
True. Yeah. Like they would probably freak out if they realize they're about to be laid off or vacated. So I keep my mouth shut. I do covert, but it's kind of fun and it's good money and, you know, minimum amount of work compared to residential. Yeah. So it's great. The way I got it, I don't know if I shared this story before, but There's a good moral to the story. I was shooting the home of the executive director of Cushman Wakefield in San Diego, and he loved the photos of his home. A year later, he's like, "Hey, Sam, do you have those old photos you shot of my home? I want to, you know, kind of list it or, you know, for rental or whatever." And I go, "Sure, here's the photos." And I'm like, by the way, do you need a photographer for your commercial projects and listings?" And he's like, "Oh, great timing. Our guy just gave his 2-week notice. We're looking for a photographer." I mean, you know, you talk about luck. There's no luck. You make your own luck, right? You seize the moment. You ask the question.
Right place at the right time.
You pounce. Yeah. And if I didn't ask the question, I would have missed the boat. So, you know, it's been great. It's been seamless. It's been organic. And they love my work because I give them the twilight treatment, because all their previous photographers would shoot their boring business campuses and industrial buildings in the middle of the day. You have the harsh shadows and contrast. I shoot it late in the day where I give them the colorful San Diego sky, and they're like, "Oh my God, this is amazing." I'm like, "It's not that hard," but they've never seen like a business building with beautiful candy color skies, you know? So it's been great, you know? And the thing is, I don't even actively pursue commercial clients. That's something I'm actually looking forward to doing going forward, is creating an Instagram account specifically with designer architectural types of shots. And, you know, I can go into it more later, but I don't pursue those. They come to me. So I think that's the best kind of sort of business to have, is if you do the work and establish the relationships, the work will come. I mean, I'm completely, you know, swamped and spread thin. So I do zero marketing. So for those that are listening and wondering, how do I get business? It's a lot of it is relationship. That's the common theme. Like Chris talked about his relationship with the golf course and the resorts. It's same for me. It's at the end of the day, 51% business and interpersonal relations, and 49% photography. If photography is, you know, overwhelming your or dominating your business, you're you know, it's the wrong approach. It's got to be equal or more business.
Yeah. And before we're running a little short on time here, guys, it's been a great conversation, but I just want to bring up one thing. You know, I missed the opportunity to bring up, you know, there's a lot of information in all the Facebook groups, and a lot of it I find, especially because I coach people, they're getting the wrong information, but there's so much information out there and so much topic with people trying to just HDR or do fast, do quick. They're not looking at the big picture. They're like, have blinders on. I think that we have four people here that can attest to have a bigger picture, learn to get better, figure it out, and it can really take you to amazing places. This is not something that we're the only people that can do this, obviously, but I think that it's really something career-wise that if you really think it out like a business, and really do what you got to do, invest some time. We were going to talk about invest in equipment. Well, that's never a good investment, but it's investing in your business. And I think that it's all possible. And none of us were in any different place than anybody else couldn't be in or could be in. So it is possible there. And it's so rewarding. I can't tell you how much I love and enjoy and how blessed I am to be able to do what I do. So I just think I wanted to close out with make your own luck, make your own fortune, and really just do good work. But strive to get better. Use lights, guys. Do you think that people should use lights? I mean, I know there's a lot of talk about infuse, but I mean, we're all still using lights because that's what we got to do, you know?
It's the most effective way to differentiate ourselves from a realtor going out and buying a camera and a tripod. You know, it's really not that hard to do, you know? Realtors could do it themselves. Now say, you know, give them, you know, an AD600 and say, light this to make it look like a magazine quality. Then, well, no, actually I better call somebody, yeah. You know, that's it. You know, you can compete on quality or cost, and competing on cost is a race to the bottom of the barrel. I've always said that. It's like, y'all can fight your way down to the bottom. Go right ahead. I'll light myself to the top, as you say, Rich. You know, lighting is just a great way to do that in terms of just the product.
You know? I can't believe that we're almost an hour into this Zoom meeting and the F word, the dread F word hasn't come up yet.
Can I want to, I have a little, to avoid that, I have a little addendum outro to Sam's story. I don't do a lot of commercial, hardly any commercial industrial photography, but I do have a buddy that is a commercial real estate developer. He builds these very large warehouses, and I've kind of gotten into that little niche market, you know, in Ontario, Redlands area. So that, you know, Amazon's got a huge center there and a lot of them anyway. He asked me to shoot one of his buildings that he had just finished. And I said, yeah, sure. I'd love to. And I said, I had no idea. I said, how big is it? He said, it's about 1 million square feet. And, you know, I'm shooting houses where 10,000 square feet is a big house, right? He said, 1 million square feet. And I said, okay. I couldn't put my head around it. I said, so how big is that? Is that like a Costco? And he said, imagine 4 Costcos and then imagine 4 more Costcos stacked on top of those Costcos. And that's probably getting there. And I was just like, wow, mind was blown, right? And I get there and it's one room. It's one room. You know, there are a few office spaces, right? A conference room and a few office buildings, but it was one room and it was the most bizarre thing to shoot, you know, just kind of stand.
No lights though, right? I mean, that's to the point where you don't even use lights.
Oh no. Yeah, they don't make lights like that, you know,
and you don't do the F word,
but they're very well lit. Fortunately, they're very well lit. And all the ones I shoot for this group, they're all brand new, you know, it's new build. So I'm going there. It's spotless. You know, all the lighting is daylight balanced and it's just right. Clean as an operating room. It's great, but it's the one time I'm really glad I had my square footage pricing model in play.
What's that one saying about letting something do the heavy lifting? I can't
let ambient do the heavy lifting.
Something like that.
Live by
it. No, but you know, you were going to say the F word, and I actually think I might have coined that phrase, let the ambient do the heavy lifting, which
you did.
I never really thought. I think I did.
You did.
But I did not coin the F word. And what is that F word, Sam? Yo, you can't even say it.
Flatulent.
Yes. It's fart. Flambient, and I don't understand the problem with it.
Oh,
what the F?
Yeah, I thought it was fart.
No, no. Yeah. I think Carol Embry, someone out there, is the one that called it flambient. But I still call it flambient, you know? I'm sorry. But whatever it is, Sam, it's what we do, and it's what works for me. I just finished a video now.
Flash ambient blending. Flash ambient blending just sounds so much more professional.
Thank you.
It's why I've never been able to use Smug Mug.
That's why I don't say it. My professional.
I'm not going to send my clients a link to Smug Mug. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to tell them I shoot flambient.
Right.
No, they're going to get flash ambient blends and they're going to come shoot.
Thank you, Chris. Yeah, Chris, you know.
It sounds stupid.
Whether we like it or not, I think it's now part of the everyday vernacular because I get emails and spam all the time from Vietnam and India going, our photo factory can do, you know, the F word. I'm not even going to say it, but they're using that word now. So
yeah,
we've lost the battle.
Industry standard now.
Yeah.
You know what, though? It's all good. And we're just joking around. I think we're joking around. But you know what? It was a revelation.
I got a little worked up there. I'm sorry.
Revelation. Yeah. It was a big thing to me because I started doing the Scott Hargis method. I just did a video an hour ago with talking about exposing for the brightest thing in the room, which I learned from Scott. And the only reason I learned to use an ambient image or flash ambient blend was because I wasn't fast enough. I didn't have the time and I wasn't good enough photographer to do it all in camera. And those days we were just, you know, it was a different ball game, but I tell you, man, it changed my life and it really has made, it's been a big part of anything that I am, the flash ambient blend. So
I learned it from you, and I'm eternally grateful, Rich.
Yeah. Truly. Well, listen, I think we got to, Brian, we got to wrap it up. I've got to.
Yeah, we got to wrap it up. And
dinner date with my daughter. Yeah.
Exactly. All right. Let me give a little word from Photo Op, our good friends at Photo Op. Who doesn't like free editing? I'm sure all four of you do, or three of you, because I'm not asking myself a question. Photo Op is now offering $100 of free editing to Shooting Spaces listeners. You can choose to work with their team of trained editors starting at $1 per image, or choose to work directly with an editor to have them learn your specific style. Don't need editing help. Photo Op also provides virtual staging, property websites, photo delivery, and website design and development services. Photo Op even offers specialized virtual assistants starting under $7 an hour. Perfect if you're looking to add assistants to help with admin and marketing tasks. Head over to photoop.net/shootingspaces or click the Photo Op link in the Shooting Spaces website to redeem your free $100 credit. Or simply mention Shooting Spaces when you sign up to receive 10 free credits to try out any of Photo Op's service. Sam, do you like free editing?
If they don't use the F word, then yeah, I'll hire them. Right.
Well, call Photo Op. Well, anyway.
Anyway. Exactly. Take us out, Brian.
Yeah, thank everybody for coming on. I'm gonna, I guess this is, these roundtables are pretty fun, Rich. We should do more of these.
Well, I gotta say, there's two other people I'd rather have. There was a couple of people I'd like to have with us, but you guys are great. I appreciate you coming on, Chris and Sam. Perfect group.
Awesome. And I know Sam will catch up on a drink, hopefully in Vegas soon. Hopefully I'm planning on making it out there. I'm not going to say 100%, but I'm hoping to be out there. And Chris, hopefully you can work things out and get out there as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then we'll have a drink together. You're not too far from Vegas, right?
It's four hours on the ground.
Oh, is it? Okay. That's
One hour far. Flight.
That's not too far.
I'll drive.
4 hours is nothing. Mm-hmm. After all the driving I did last year, 4 hours is nothing. So, all right, cool.
To see you guys.
Likewise, always a pleasure. And where can people check out your stuff? So, let's give a little plug for your websites once again.
Go ahead, Sam.
I haven't touched my website in 5 years, so don't go there. Go to my Instagram at aloha.photovideo.
Perfect.
That's mine.
1.8 well,
people, Chris, 98% of people are not going to see this. So they'd say, give us a verbal
Oh man. 1 point media group, all spelled out like my favorite, it's named after my favorite composition. One point media group.
For the 10 of you that are watching on YouTube, you can just look at his hat. Our stats are like, you know.
This is worth watching, though. I promise
podcast
you.
Podcast listeners to YouTube.
I'm sorry. I thought like this was a video podcast. I brush my teeth and everything.
Because, no, but Sam Chen's been naked
will be
the
on
whole
YouTube,
time. So
we just don't get well that much traffic it. There.
Okay.
That's okay.
Anyway. Yeah. All right, Rich, as always.
You find me at Instagram, whatever it is. But thank you so much, guys. You know what? And I just want to say that of all of you out there in podcast land, if you're not subscribed, please do so. Please feel free to send us messages to the Ask the Guys feature. Oh, look, Sam's got his pussy. I mean, his kitty. That's worth watching alone. I'm watching Sam with his pussy. Okay, there you go.
And it's black.
Pussy cat. Yeah, black pussy. Oh, God. But I just want to say, Ask the Guys is a feature where you can record 90 seconds and ask any question you'd like. We always love to get those. And we're going to have other people on that are going to be able to answer some questions. But we really want to thank you all for hanging out. Go to shootingspaces.net. And that is where we can do the show. You see the webinars. We have presets, webinars, all our stuff there. And our podcast is obviously shootingspacespodcast.com. Anything I left out, Mr. B? Mr. Burton?
No, I think you got it all.
Okay. Well, take us out. Take us out, Rich Baumstadt.
I don't know. Right. You have a new clothes that you got. Okay. You nailed like the last three times. I don't know.
Finally, after 3 years, got it. No. But listen, thank you all for joining us. And, you know, until we meet again, go out and shoot some
spaces.
Some space. All on three. One, two, three.
Shoot some spaces.
Oh, that sucked. Okay. See you later, guys.
This has been Shooting Spaces. For more episodes, visit shootingspacespodcast.com and visit our education site at shootingspaces.net.